easy session.
It's going to be a quick, we're coming out of session and then...
And motion back into regular session, executive session.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlet?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes. Mr. Moore, any possible action on executive session items?
No, Mr. President.
In that case, we're going into scheduled public hearings. Mr. Moore?
All right. Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. And I will read the rules of procedure for the county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in a manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record, along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant, excuse me, will be called on to present and explain their application, present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at speaker stand, state your name, home address, before you make a statement, and please sign in. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And for this afternoon's hearings, we have a change of zone and a, two change of zones. And it's my understanding that they are going to be presented as one hearing, but they'll be voted on separately. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. Since we have two public hearings scheduled today and they're going to be combined in presentation, I'll read both application short titles first. First application is change of zone number 1790 Carillion Square Apartments LLC. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a C1 general commercial district to an AR1 agriculture residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 8.66 acres more or less. Property is located 520 feet west of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24. And 1,200 feet south of Indian Mission Road, Route 5. The 911 address is not available. The tax map ID is District 234, Map 23, Parcel 269.13, and it's a part of that parcel, and 269.15, and also being a part of that parcel. The second application is change of zone 1791, Carolyn Square Apartments, LLC. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district and a C1 general commercial district to an HR1 high density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 17.19 acres more or less. This property is located southwest of Indian Mission Road, Route 5, and 500 feet west of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24. 911 address was not available. The tax map ID is District 234, Map 23, Parcel 260, and Parcel 269.18, and that's a part of that parcel. For the benefit of council, the exhibit booklets provided by the applicants have been provided to each council member, and that includes an attached executive summary, which was also provided. For the record, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on January 14, 2016, and heard testimony from the applicants. We received one letter in support. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. The applicant had provided the preliminary land use service plus comments in the application and in the booklet. The application was represented by Eugene Byers, Esquire, Morris James Wilson, Albrook and Byers, LLP, with Zach Crouch, professional engineer of Davis Bowen and Friedel Incorporated, Ben Gordy with Carolyn Square Apartments, LLC, and Zach Corrado, director of leasing and property management for Beach Plum Dunes Apartments, all giving testimony. We also heard from Vesper Raleigh, a resident of Beach Plum Apartments, or Beach Plum Dunes Apartments, excuse me, spoke in support of the application and referenced the quality of the improvements built at the Beach Plum Dunes Apartment Complex. There were no parties present in opposition. At the conclusion of the public hearings and in reference to change of zone 1790, the commission did defer action for further consideration on January 14th of 2016. On February 11th of 2016, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1790 for Carolyn Square Apartments, LLC, for a change of zone from C1 General Commercial to AR1 Agriculture Residential, based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reason. This application was heard in conjunction with change of zone 1791 for an assemblage of properties consisting of 27.02 acres located on the north side of Route 24 and just west of Route 24, Route 5 intersection. Currently, approximately 14 acres of the property is owned C1 General Commercial and CR1 Commercial Residential, and approximately 13 acres is owned AR1 Agriculture Residential. The two applications together seek to rezone 17.2 acres to HR1 High Density Residential, leaving the balance as AR1 Agriculture Residential so that an age-restricted development can occur on the property. This application will be a downzoning from C1 General Commercial with more intensive uses to AR1 Agriculture Residential, which permits less intensive and lower intensity uses. Both this rezoning and change of zone 1791 will establish zoning lines that are uniform and that clearly follow development and property line boundaries. By rezoning the property that is the subject of this application to AR1 Agriculture Residential, the developer has stated that it will ensure that this area will remain an open space and not be developed. The rezoned AR1 Agriculture Residential will not have an adverse impact on neighboring roadways or communities. In fact, the downzoning to AR1 Agriculture Residential for use as open space will have a positive impact on neighboring properties and the area in general. The downzoning to AR1 Agriculture Residential is consistent with surrounding zonings, which includes a variety of different zoning classifications, including C1 General Commercial and CR1 Commercial Residential and existing AR1 Agriculture Residential zones. No parties appeared in opposition to the rezoning, and for these reasons, it is my motion that it is appropriate to rezone the subject property from C1 General Commercial to AR1 Agriculture Residential. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried with 4 votes to forward this application to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons stated. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Ross not participating since he did not participate in the public hearing. In reference to change of zone 1791, on January 14th, again, there was a motion for deferral for further consideration. On February 11, 2016, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change zone 1791 for Carolyn Square Apartments LLC for a change of zone from AR1 Agriculture Residential and C1 General Commercial to HR1 High Density Residential based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reason. This application was heard in conjunction with change zone 1790 for an assemblage of properties consisting of 27.02 acres located on the north side of Route 24 and just west of Route 24, Route 5 intersection. Currently, approximately 14 acres of the property is owned C1 General Commercial and CR1 Commercial Residential, and approximately 13 acres is owned AR1 Agriculture Residential. The two applications together seek to rezone 17.2 acres to HR1 High Density Residential, leaving the balance as AR1 Agriculture Residential so that an age-restricted development can occur on the property. Both this rezoning and change of zone 1790 will establish zoning lines that are uniform and that clearly follow development and property line boundaries. This site is part of an assemblage of properties that were previously zoned commercial as part of a larger development. Part of that development on property adjacent to this application site include development as a Rite Aid drugstore and a Wawa convenience market. Under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the property adjoins a highway commercial area and substantial commercial development has occurred on the Route 5, Route 24 corridor over the past decade. HR1 high density residential zoning is consistent with the surrounding zonings and uses. There is existing C1 general commercial zoning that permits residential development as a maximum density of 12 units per acre, which is the same as HR1 high density residential. Other uses and densities include CR1 commercial residential and GR zoning. The Wawa, the Rite Aid, a manufactured home community, and a shopping center. The rezoning will not materially increase the permissible density that existed prior to the application and the change of zone 1790 application. The rezoning to HR1 high density residential will not have an adverse impact on neighboring roadways or communities. No parties appeared in opposition to the application. For all these reasons, it is my motion that it is appropriate to rezone the subject property to HR1 High Density Residential. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried with 4 votes to forward this application to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons stated. The motion carried 4-0, with Mr. Ross not participating since he did not participate in the public hearing. To date, I have received no additional comments from any agency or individual on these applications. Okay. Unless you have questions.
Any questions from council? Seeing none, Mr. Byer.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
For the record, Gene Byer on behalf of the applicant, Carolyn Square. With me this afternoon to present the application are Zach Crouch from Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, the project engineer. Jax Corrado from Ocean Atlantic, which developed Beach Plum Dunes, and a cast of supporting characters, Preston Schell and Bob Sibyl. We'll try to be brief. We apologize for the lack of a crowd, but you probably had enough this morning. For the record, I'd like to confirm that we want to consolidate both hearings into one. This property, and Zach, if you could put the zoning map up on the screen, should be familiar to council because this marks the 5th and 6th zoning application on this assemblage of properties. If you look at the zoning map, the first zoning application occurred probably 20 years ago. George, you were around. You remember Julie Hall? It was her, Julie Hall, back in your dating days? No. Oh, sorry.
George?
But the first application rezoned almost 13 acres to C1 General Commercial. The second created a 1-acre parcel for what is now the Rite Aid. The third created a 1-acre plus parcel for Wawa. The fourth was about a 2.5-acre parcel, and that created the 2.7-acre parcel created the access for Wawa and for this development. to Route 5. So as a matter of fact, the access to this development has already been built and is in place. And these are the last two applications. What these applications do is replace an existing project, which was a planned 54,000 square foot shopping center and 125 townhomes with 204 age-restricted rental apartments. If you look at the zoning map, by my count, there are more than 15 zoning changes that have occurred over the last 10 to 12 years in this quadrant of Route 24 and Route 5. Properties in level 2 on the state strategies map, and as Lawrence pointed out, the commission recommended approval of both changes of zone for the reasons stated. Also, I might add, this project has been endorsed by the State Housing Authority. We have a special guest, a gentleman named Paul Chandler, who will identify himself and speak to you after we've made our presentation. With that, Zach, if you could come forward. For the record, will you identify yourself, please?
For the record, Zach Crouch, Davis Bone and Fredo.
Zach, can you briefly describe the process you've been through to date with this project with agencies and where you are?
Yes, as of today, we've been through the process, and as Mr. Lank has expressed, our responses are within our booklet that has been included. We also have received...
What tab is that? The plus, you know, you got all these tabs on this.
I'll look for it, Zach. You keep going.
We've also submitted an SLER to
Exhibit 2, George.
Del Dock.
Exhibit 2.
And there is a response that's in the file basically stating that a traffic impact study is not required based on the number of units. There was a previous traffic impact study that was completed back in 2013, and it included 125 regular townhouses. And our request was to get some to show that the 204 age-restricted apartments basically are equal to those 125. And the letter that they submitted basically concurred with that, with those findings, and actually states that there is no traffic impact study that was required. And as part of that traffic impact study that was performed, the developer had to dedicate additional land for the improvements out at the intersection of 5 and 24, which has already been done. The entrances, as stated in Bill Brockenbrough's letter dated November 5th, 2015, the two access points, the two on 24 and the one on Route 5 have been constructed and have been accepted by Del Dock already. The second thing is the sewer capacity. Received a memo from Rob Davis dated January 12th of 2016, basically stating that with the two applications, the combined EDU allowable for this project is 214 EDUs, and the request for this afternoon is for 204 units, so we're well within that. The allowable EDUs for the sewer capacity as it exists today.
You went through the TAC process?
Yes.
You prepared an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone report?
That is correct.
You prepared a letter demonstrating compliance with County Ordinance 99-9C?
Yes.
Can you take the council through the site plan briefly? Was that the former plan you had up on the screen?
Yes, the former plan was, and there again, I kind of referenced it in the TIS that was submitted back in 2013. As you can see, it took up the entire back portion of the site, which was, there again, 125 townhouses. Actually, 124, the TIS mentions, the TIS was based on 125. So you can see the difference of what was previously being considered and where we're at today, which will consist of 204 apartments. As you enter off of Route 5 and into the proposed site, there are several buildings located throughout the site in which the stormwater management would be designed to meet the new stormwater management regulations. There is a 20-foot volunteer buffer from the 404 wetlands that had been delineated. And to the south, or to the left, north areas up here, you can see where we are preserving everything to the south, left, in the current conditions, which is all wooded with a walking trail. And that's the area. Here's this dark black line is the area that's currently zoned C1 is going to be, we're proposing to AR1, which is going to remain as woodlands with a walking trail within this area for the community. The communities also consist of a pool and clubhouse. The pool itself is going to be a Four Seasons pool. Four Seasons pool, which is going to be there again. A Four Seasons pool is open all year round. A community garden, a dog park, bocce, shuffleboard, pickleball, a tot lot, and a clubhouse. And then some type of shed for the community garden itself.
Thank you. Before I move on to my next witness, any questions from Zach?
Well, Zach, on this plan, is it
looks like you've left a lot of open space and everything else, and you've got a 20-foot buffer in the back there to the wetlands.
Yes.
20 feet's not a whole lot. Was there any way you couldn't have pushed everything away and created a greater buffer there to because that wetlands and that branch feeds, I guess it's, what is it, Guinea, one of those creeks, Herring Creek or one of them, it's like the headwaters. You know how when they fertilize and do all the lawns, and these will have beautiful lawns and all the fertilizing that goes with it, it'll be right into it. Is there any possibility of being able to shift things a little bit and get a couple more feet out of there?
Well, I think as you can relate to the site plan, I mean, you know, there's a couple of different goals we tried to achieve here. One is, you know, limit the amount of clearing you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So, you know, moving things forward, I mean, you're only talking about this area here, which, you know, we could probably look at. But there again, for the record, I mean, there's no buffer required per code.
So. I understand that. We're trying to do things better here in Sussex County. Right, Zach?
20 feet, you know, that's a difference. So.
And since you've proffered 20 feet, I'm just wondering, with the ability you have, isn't there a way to move it a little bit further to the other direction to give more greater? Because that would be the most sensitive area of in this environmentally sensitive developing district.
Well, as you can see, I mean, there's areas where we got more than 20.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I understand.
And it's just really where the buildings are. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, 5 to 10 more feet, I don't see would be a problem. But if you're looking at 50 to 100,
no, I never said that. Never said that, Zach.
And there again, you're trying. You know, we're trying to keep everything in this front portion of it for a number of different reasons. One is utility, because there's going to be a pump station.
That's fine with me. That's
going to be located here in the course access. And then there again,
I agree with all that. I'm just wondering, is there a way to, like, I look at some open space there that things could be shifted, and I don't think it would take a whole lot, and you probably could gain. And anytime you gain any more buffer to help that wetlands is better. In my opinion.
George, nobody's arguing with you, but remember, this is the land use stage. This is not the engineering stage.
The what?
The engineering stage.
I know, but we approve here, Gene, they run with, and you know that.
No, I think what the commission approves by way of final site plan.
I know, but I won't be there. I'm here.
I think George wants to pass so he can have to play shuffleboard.
Right. I think he's in.
Pickleball. I'm a pickleball player, Sam.
Well, George.
And I'm old enough to live there.
George, I can make it 30 feet.
Zach, see, look how, see, guys, all you got to do is, this is a learning session for these guys, especially Sam.
It'll be good.
Thank you.
All right.
No, I appreciate that. No, thank you.
Any other questions of Zach?
George? That's very positive, Zach. Thank you.
I'm not sure you'd succeed with your application.
See, Gene, all you had to do is sit there and be quiet.
Zach,
it's impossible.
Zach, I think from this part now, we're okay with 20.
Do I hear 25?
Where's the gavel? Where's the gavel?
I broke it.
I might break it again.
Jax, if you could introduce yourself, please.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jax Corrado. I'm the property manager at Beach Plum Dunes in Lewis, Delaware.
Jax, correct me if I'm wrong, but Beach Plum Dunes is an Ocean Atlantic project?
It is, yes.
Can you describe what it is to council briefly?
It's 194 apartments. Right now we're at 100% capacity. We have a swimming pool, a walking trail, a tot lot, playground, a dog park.
And when did this project break ground?
They broke ground in April 2013.
So from then to now, you're now fully occupied. Do you have a waiting list?
There's about 65 people on the wait list.
65 people on your waiting list? And it's your understanding that Ocean Atlantic will be directing and managing this project?
As far as I'm concerned, and I hope I will be leasing up that community also.
What makes a successful apartment project in your estimation?
I think, well, offering the amenities that we're offering these people is pretty amazing for the area. Mm-hmm. Our demographics are fantastic. I mean, I did a survey this morning where Beach Plum Dunes only has 9% families that have children, so that shows how many people are retiring to this area.
Can you describe briefly your Beach Plum Dunes renter profile?
Yeah, there are probably about 70% that are 55 and over.
And where have they come from, or are they relocated, or are they local?
New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Maryland.
Is it fair to describe this type of apartment living as a lifestyle choice?
Absolutely. I mean, the feedback I get from my customers is they thank me a lot for what we've offered them. They're downsizing. They don't want maintenance. They want to go to Florida for the winters. They don't want to worry about the apartment when they leave it.
With your permission, Jax, I'm going to... This is an unsolicited testimonial that Jax received from a resident of Beach Plum Dunes.
And I do get a lot of those.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions of Jax? Hearing none, take a seat, Jax.
Thank you.
I'd like to introduce to you Paul Chandler, who in turn will introduce himself and speak to you briefly.
As Gene said, my name is Paul Chandler. I'm president of the Delaware Apartment Association. The Delaware Apartment Association is a trade association. Represents currently about 28,000 apartments here in the state. Out of what we estimate is about 43,000. I want to talk to you a little bit about the apartment industry. The industry itself has experienced good prosperity over the last 5 years, and everything that we read right now is indicating that there's no end in sight. And there's a couple of reasons for that. There are elements in our population which are dictating that we need to have more housing, more apartment housing. There's basically two segments. There are the baby boomers, of which I am a member, and there are 77 million of us. And then there are the millennials, of which there are about 80 million. The important thing to understand is what has occurred over the last 5 or so years is apartments have become a living decision out of choice, not out of necessity. And so if we take the baby boomers for a second, what we're seeing is people saying, how many years do I have left? The unknown. But it's probably not a tremendous number of years, and they're saying...
You're going to depress me when we start.
Yeah. We're all going to die.
You don't want to go there.
Okay. So, at any rate, what they're saying is that most of my net worth, my personal net worth, is tied up in the equity of my home. And what that means is it's preventing me from being able to live the lifestyle that I really want. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to go and to the restaurants whenever I want to go to the theater, to go to the various forms of entertainment. So if I sell my house and I move into an apartment, I have a lot of cash in the bank. Plus, I can move into an apartment complex where, number one, I don't need to have my lawnmower, my ladder, and my snow shovel anymore. If something does go wrong with it, I make a phone call, and a man comes and he fixes it, and I don't get a bill. So what we're saying is that we can offer ultimate flexibility. If I decide after a year that I want to move to a different city because my grandchildren or my child moved, the leases are usually a year in length, and I can do that. Ultimate flexibility. Quality of life is where we need to focus. So, 55 plus communities, very much the answer here. So what you'll see here, and I can speak to this from some personal experience, and my other, the other hat I wear is I actually manage apartment complexes, and we do have a 55 plus community in Dover. So what you'll see here is a focus on amenities, which is very important, because what the 55 plus crowd is looking for is community, an ability to create a community where there is a social circle within the property itself. So what that means is that they'll be looking for the upscale amenities that you see on this drawing right here. The garden is going to be extremely popular. Dog parks in every apartment complex have been extremely popular in the last 3 or 4 years. You have a Four Seasons pool, you have the bocce, the shuffleboard, the pickleball, which tends to be an older game. All of these things, plus the walking trail, all of these things are going to be critical. This is exactly what they're looking for. They're going to be spending a lot more time on the property than what you would find in what we call a market rate community. In a market rate community, you're going to see people of a much younger age, and for the most part, they're looking for a place to live when they leave work at the end of the day. So it becomes more of a bedroom community. In addressing what we have seen at the property in Dover, a little bit of trepidation in that approach because it was a new adventure. It never had been tried before by us. Didn't know how it was going to go. It turned out to be immensely successful. 55 plus is a bit of a misnomer. The average age at our property is 72. What you'll also find,
Mike's game.
Yeah.
I'll be there next year.
What you'll also find is that people will come from great distance. In our property in Dover, I think this area has a lot more to offer than Dover does. No offense to the people in Dover.
We would agree.
Okay. 65% of the people who live in our property came from Delaware. The rest of them have come from California, northern New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Texas, North Carolina,
You're
Virginia.
Depressing me again.
Okay. Which state?
All of them.
Okay.
I think
because of this property's location, you'll find an even greater percentage of people coming from the urban areas such as Washington, Baltimore, Philadelphia, northern New Jersey, even New York.
They don't know how to drive either.
So, what I want to emphasize is that people are making these decisions to live in these complexes out of choice, not because they need to. And the reason for that is it affords them the flexibility and a much improved lifestyle. Do you have any questions for me?
Paul, let me ask you one question. Have you had an opportunity to examine the project booklet and look at this plan?
I have.
Can you tell council what your assessment is?
I can. And again, I'm going to use my point of reference with Dover a little bit. And I think what this area offers is much more attractive. I mean, what we have in this area, which is what this clientele is going to be looking for, is healthcare. We have BB. You're going to be looking for golf and tennis. You're going to be looking for the restaurants, of which we have many great ones here. Plus, and certainly not last, or lastly but not least, the ocean. These are things, a beautiful place to live the rest of your life. So this property, the way it's designed, and again, I'm going to look at those amenities, and you see how they're all centrally located. That's very important too. You don't want them too far spread out. The only exception to that, of course, would be the necessity of having a walking trail that isn't centrally located. But in my opinion, based on my experience in working with the Delaware Apartment Association and the National Apartment Association, as well as my reference to the property in Dover, this thing will be hugely successful, and I think it'll rent up very fast.
Questions of Paul Chandler?
Yes, Mr. President. You mentioned the numbers that we have statewide. Could you share some numbers that we have here in Sussex County as it relates to the apartments?
My research has indicated that there are primarily four apartment complexes that have been built since 2011 in Sussex County. That would be the county seat complex here in Georgetown. Then you have Beach Palm Blooms, of course, in Lewis. And then also in Lewis, you have Sandbar, which is a Capano property. And then lastly, in Seaford, you have Stony Brook. All of these properties are now running at 97% occupancy or greater.
But do you have a, that's the last, since, I guess, last 4 or 5 years. But in general, overall, do we know how many are in total in this county, apartments?
I do.
A guesstimation?
One in every town.
I mean, I have no idea. I truly have no idea. I was just, being a part of the association, I figured you might have some sense of that.
Well, these complexes are members, and these are the larger, more newer complexes. Primarily what you see in Sussex counties is smaller 30 to 50 unit complexes, mm-hmm. a good deal of which are subsidized housing type complexes. So the best I can do is give you a guess, and that's what it is that there's probably 600 or 700 apartments in Sussex County.
Okay. Other questions? If not, thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
I'll wrap up. This project, at least so we believe, meets a growing neck in Sussex, or growing need in Sussex County. It's consistent with a comp plan. It's consistent with a future land use plan, and is endorsed by the State Housing Authority. Road infrastructure is already in place. Sewer capacity exists. Public water service is available. And the project, as the commission found, is consistent with the character and trend of development in this area of Sussex County. Not only are there no negative impacts created by this project, it's a far better plan and a far better project than its predecessor.
I'm sorry, I was looking to see how they get out on Route 24. I live there, and it's not easy.
Principal access is Route 5, Mrs. Deaver.
Mm-hmm. That's the only one?
No, you can find your way through Wawa and Rite Aid. There will be an access way is there.
Gene or Zach, okay. Either one. Okay. Where's this well head they were referencing, a well head protection area? But and you were going to, you were it just it? Your, the comments and plus was you would consider it.
We have to comply. It's not a choice, George. Right, we have to comply with the well.
Could you explain what the word consider means?
That means we have to do what they want or we don't get what we want.
We have to comply with the county's ordinance in reference to wellhead protection. And it's, you know, Mr. Cole, if you actually look at that map they have in there,
okay.
It's basically, if you look up right here, it's this corner right here.
Okay.
So there's only, you know, per the county's code, there's only a certain amount of impervious area that can go in there, which we're not even close to. Well, there again, it'll meet the requirements.
Okay.
In closing, remember what this replaces, and that's 125 townhomes and a 54,000 square foot center. And much better project.
And the land that's left in green, how do we know that that's not going to be another application?
That will be part of the final site plan. If you remember Heritage Village, Mr. Cole?
Yeah.
Just I want to know what kind, is there any kind of assurances that you...
That's the same insurance. Heritage Village is the area of the nine-hole golf course behind the Superfresh on Route 1.
Mm-hmm.
That density was established, and the area that is open was required to be open. The same is true here. It will be dedicated on the final site plan that the commission approves.
And Lawrence, that is, we can take that to the bank, that won't...
Parsman Green is being rezoned to AR1.
Right.
That controls it.
But
unless they were to come in and have to go back to public hearing to do anything with it.
But also,
single
just
family homes they can put in there, AR1.
They have to go to public hearing to do it. Whatever they do.
Once the site plan is recorded.
Either way.
AR1, but wait, if it's zoned AR1, the permitted use is a subdivision.
Once the site plan is recorded, George, it will be dedicated.
They have to go to public hearing.
But it doesn't come in front of us.
Go to the commission.
I can answer it too.
I'm just looking. Okay. Yes, sir.
I'm going to try to answer
that for
you.
You couldn't just sit there, could you?
In theory,
no, I couldn't.
Preston Shaw with Ocean Atlantic and Rehoboth Beach. In theory, we could change the zone right now and come back with a completely different application than this and put single-family homes there. In practice, that's going to show up on our preliminary site plan, as it already has, and be part of the site plan and be dedicated as open space on that. So then I'd actually have to come back to you guys, which we've never done on any project in the past, and say, remember that thing we said was open space? Can you please give me permission to build homes on it now? And you guys would immediately say no. So I couldn't do that anyway.
Okay.
So it'll show up as permanent open space.
I'm just trying to get it on the record that there's, you know.
It will be preserved, Mr. Cole.
Well, right. just so I can tell my friends now, how many stories these buildings would be? How many stories?
Some are three some are four.
Mm-hmm.
Most are four.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gee, that's for old folks?
Yeah, there's an elevator in each building.
You know, we're not letting anybody sneak in with 60-foot buildings anymore. Do you know that?
I know that.
Yeah. How about that?
One other thing. This is, again, the environmentally sensitive developing district. With the parking lots, you know, as much surface as you got dedicated to the parking, is there any kind of landscaping that, you know, would help soften the harshness of all that? Do you have like little islands of greenery or anything in there, Zach, that you could point out that would, like the one to the left, looks like it's just one big, huge piece of asphalt. Is there any way to, again, to soften the, you know, because be more environmentally sensitive in your parking lot design?
They're around the water to the Star Water Pond.
Quiet, Sam. Don't. I'm not asking you a question, Sam.
I think the stormwater management is going to take care of all that. But there again, I mean, this is not the final site plan. And these areas here, there's new requirements from the fire marshal. And if you look at if these areas here, they have to be hard surface because you have to have the ability to go down the side if needed mm-hmm. to meet fire marshal requirements. So typically when you would have landscape islands in these areas, I mean, with these new regulations, it's kind of provide, but we could probably provide something between this one just to keep that, just like we did somewhat over here.
It looks, it looks like there is a couple over there, right?
But so.
So if you have parking on both sides there, emergency.
But you say there will be an attempt maybe to do that in the final site plan, and Lawrence is here to testify that he's heard you say that, right?
Yes, we'll be on record.
Any other questions?
Two out of me, George.
Any okay. other questions before we sit down?
You're not going. Are you going to sit at the bottom of this pond?
I try to make up for Sam's lack of questions.
Yeah, there'll be fish there, Sam.
Okay. Thank you.
That could be a Star Water pond.
Other questions?
Then you could put your water in there. It'd be okay.
There you go.
Thank you, Mr. Byard.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Everyone that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if the council desires, close public record.
Yep. We'll close public hearing. So give the council close public record. Ask, we're going to vote on these one at a time.
Yes, they'll be one at a time.
Ask Mr. Moore to read the short title, I guess, first of Change of Zone 1790.
That's correct. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a C1 general commercial district to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 8.66 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning and zoning enumerated 1 through 9.
Pleasure, Council.
Why not just adopt it?
Motion, Mrs. Dever.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett, to approve change of zone 1790 for the reasons as stated by planning and zoning.
Mm-hmm.
Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes, and for the same things you said about reasons stated by planning and zoning.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes, per recommendations from planning and zoning.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
And I also agree with planning and zoning's recommendations and reasons, although yes. Next is a change of zone 1791.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district and a C1 general commercial district to a HR1 high-density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 17.19 acres, more or less for the reasons given by planning and zoning as enumerated 1 through 10.
Pleasure, council.
Can I ask a question, or when do I come?
Motion, Mrs. Dever.
Yeah, adopt.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions, Mr. Cole.
Last question, Lawrence. What would be the overall density then of this application now at 1791?
It could be 12 units to the acre.
It could be. So what they're proposing is what?
I'd have to ask, I haven't calculated.
7.53.
7.53. Let me add.
The HR1's only 11, it's 11.7 for the HR1.
Well, 11 to 12, whatever, so, but we're, so that we don't get something, what kind of guarantees does this council have that we will get 7.53 units per acre as opposed to 12? There is none?
This is a rezoning.
This is a rezoning?
Yes.
Okay, so they could, they have the ability to go out?
To the max.
Could they have done this as a HR1 RPC?
They could. No, how many acres is it?
17?
Yes, they could.
Is there, Mr., could I ask Mr. Byard a reason?
Certainly.
A question, Mr. Byard?
Yes, sir.
Is there a reason why this application is open-ended like this and not, I mean, we're looking at your plans, it seems that the council, the planning zoning.
I'm neither the engineer, the architect, or the designer, but I think this fits better because.
But no, my question is why you didn't put the RPC designation in, it wouldn't have been.
Because the mischief with the RPC designation, if you remember Elizabethtown, is that if the RPC classification, the overlay lapses, then the entire property would be zoned HR1, and you would have 27 acres at a density of approximately 12 per acre, which is something nobody contemplates.
Okay, but if Mr. Shell sells this project to another developer, all this is just conceptual?
17 acres are zoned RPC.
Well, okay, but still, the HR is still open-ended and stuff.
Only to the extent of 17 acres. If we did an HR RPC on the entire 27 acres, that would be a different story altogether.
We've only asked for just that much HR1 to permit us to do 204 units, so even if I got hit by a bus tomorrow and sold the property, I think the guy might be able to come in with 205 units, maybe 206, but we've already, that's why we did it that way. Instead of asking for HR on all 27 acres and hoping you guys trust us, we'll do 204 units, we only asked for just enough HR zoning to do 204 units, so we're already maxing out what we're permitted to do. So even if we changed our mind tomorrow, I think maybe it's 205. I think that's the max.
But we could go from an age I mean, we heard all the good things like age restricted, we heard about apartments versus townhouses, which are much bigger, and everything else. No, I do have some, it just dawned on me that this was an open-ended application, which I'm not real crazy. I like to hear what you say, and I like to make sure I get what you say you're going to give us, and I know your plans are, but if something happened, you walked out, whatever.
Yes, unfortunately, we already took a vote on the first one, which downzoned a portion of the property till.
Well, that's fine. Well, that's, I'm not trying to question that.
206.
206, okay.
What's that?
206 would be the max if they went 12.
Which is what, and we're looking at what, 200 and?
Four.
Four? But we could just have a different product, that's all. Okay.
Overall, on the whole parcel together, it comes out to seven.
7.53.
7.53.
Okay, well, one last observation then. If, because we're changing a zone where there's no guarantee that green open space with a walking trail out there, is guaranteed then at this point. Isn't that correct?
The only guarantee is it final site plan approval?
It's because we get a rezoning, there is...
No, not at the rezoning stage, Mr. Cole. The only thing you've gained here by rezoning that property is you've rezoned almost 8 acres of C1 ground to AR, eliminating in that area 12 units per acre and providing a wooded area that's an amenity not only to this project, but to the neighbors to the west.
That's currently zoned for 12 units to the acre,
okay.
Or it was up until three and a half minutes ago.
Exactly.
It wasn't a CR2. Okay.
They're basically shifting commercial to HR.
Okay, I get it. I'm just worried that it's not there's not that firm guarantee that we're going to get.
I mean, the guarantee is right here, though. I mean, how would I bring another application? Well, George, I mean, but if you guys changed your ordinances to allow me to make commitments at this hearing, I would.
Well, no, the RPC, if you just added RPC to it, it would have been. But anyway, that's all right.
But that's the
mischief. I understand.
The mischief is the RPC. Look and listen to that.
I don't know how much. I don't know. I think it's
already happened to us. I'll explain it to you later.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions?
Thank you.
Is that known as wetland? What's green?
No, that's simply a woods. It's not woodland.
Or is that the same level as the rest of it?
It's the same level. It's the same property. It's fully upland.
All same sea level height.
And it is zoned.
The blue area at the top, that's a form of wetlands, but the green area is high land that's zoned C1. Or it used to be zoned C1.
So it's considered a ditch that runs through there, right?
Yes.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I vote yes in conjunction with planning and zoning decision and for the reasons they gave.
Cole.
Yeah, I'll vote yes. I'll support plan and zoning.
Starlet.
Likewise, I shall also vote yes. You okay? As suggested by planning and zoning.
Mr. Wilson.
I'm going to vote yes according to plan and zoning. And yet on one hand, this council says on one hand we're bringing in more traffic, yet I'm going to vote yes.
I also agree with the reasons. Table planning and zoning, I'm going to vote yes, motion carried. Is there any motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We're adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies.
I guess I'm not even guarantee. I guess.